Now here there is a remarkable point. Christianity and Islam both see themselves as continuing triumphantly, or perhaps not so triumphantly, to the end of time, that is, to the last judgment. Judaism presumably sees itself as continuing until the coming of the Messiah. Buddhism, however, sees itself as an organized religion, as the sasana, as an institution, as subject to the same cyclical process as everything else. Buddhism, too, as an organized religion, is born, develops, matures, declines, and dies. Many Buddhist texts predict, or purport to predict, this decline. And indeed, in many parts of the Buddhist world, it has come to pass. This decline has come to pass. It has come to pass centuries ago in Central Asia, in India, and in Indonesia, which once had thriving Buddhist cultures and civilizations. In all these areas, Buddhism has passed through the complete cycle. In more recent times, Buddhism has seriously declined in China and Tibet, as well as elsewhere in the East to an extent. In the Buddhist East as a whole, we may say, Buddhism has been in decline for at least 1,000 years, which is a very sobering thought. This is not to say that individual Buddhists, and even perhaps small groups of Buddhists, here and there, have not pursued the path to enlightenment, have even pursued it to the very end. But there have been fewer and fewer such individuals and little groups, and Buddhism itself has had, for centuries, less and less influence on the surrounding civilization and culture. But the cyclical process is a complex one. As I've said, there are waves upon waves. There are smaller waves upon bigger waves. There are cycles within cycles. And upon the back of a larger wave that is falling, there may be a smaller wave that is rising. Within a cycle of decay, within what is overall a cycle of decay, there may be a cycle of growth. In other words, we see arising within Buddhism, declining Buddhism, movements of revival and reform. And those movements usually are associated with the life and work of a great, prominent, outstanding individual. Thus, in Tibet, we have the outstanding figure, the outstanding achievement of Atisha, the founder of the Kadampa tradition. In Japan, there is Hakuin, the revitalizer of Rinzai Zen. And in more recent times, in China, there is the remarkable figure of the abbot Tai Zhu, who did so much for the revival of Buddhism in that country after the collapse of the Manchu dynasty. So much, indeed, that he is known to Chinese Buddhists as Bodhisattva Tai Zhu. During the present century, Buddhism has been, on the whole, in decline. We all know what has happened in China and in Tibet. There, it has been openly attacked by the forces of militant Marxism. And elsewhere in the East, it has been undermined by the process of industrialization and urbanization. It's also been weakened by the inroads of Christianity to such an extent indeed that some Buddhist leaders in some of the traditionally Buddhist countries have become seriously alarmed. Thus, in the present century, the wave of Buddhism in the world, on the whole, has been falling. But on the back of that wave, there are smaller waves, some of them very small indeed, and those waves are rising. Two of those waves are, I believe, of particular importance and significant. One of these waves has arisen in India, where Buddhism has been virtually dead for nearly 1,000 years, and the other has arisen in the West, in Europe and the Americas, where Buddhism was unknown until very, very recently. The FWBO, including the WBO, is part of that wave. It is also part of the wave that has arisen in India, where, of course, it is known as the TBMSG. One could say also that the two waves, the Western wave and the Indian, are made up of a multitude of smaller waves. The FWBO TBMSG would then be one of those smaller waves. We would be one of those smaller waves. Of course, we would not be one of those waves in any collective, within single inverted commas, sense, because the FWBO TBMSG is itself made up of hundreds, even thousands, of waves. Those waves are the different chapters, city centres, country retreat centres, communities, team-based right livelihood businesses, choirs, etc. There are even the individual order members, mitras, and friends, all of whom are, I trust, undergoing, on the whole, a process of growth and upward development, or are making, in other words, some progress up the spiral path. That progress will be made, of course, by their consciousness, their citta, for want of a better term. The physical body may be in a process of decline. If that is the case, and it will be the case sooner or later, for all of us, our attitude should be that of the poet William Butler Yeats, who says, "An aged man is but a paltry thing, a tattered coat upon a stick, unless soul clap its hands and sing, and louder sing, for every tatter of its mortal dress." As Buddhists, as men and women who have gone for refuge to the Three Jewels, we have every reason to clap our hands and sing, both literally and metaphorically, whatever the state of our mortal dress may be.